Clare Animal Welfare is running a scheme to subsidise animal owners, pet owners, to have their pet neutered or spayed throughout the month of August. The dog rescue charity will pay a substantial part of the cost of this as part of their philosophy of reducing the number of unwanted pets in the county. Clare Animal Welfare, which finds new homes for neglected, abused and abandoned animals, will also subsidise the cost of microchipping your dog. So I met up with Kira Copeland, Sheila Lynch and Stefan McGowan from Clare Animal Welfare to find out more about this and the charity in general.
Hi there, my name is Kira Copeland. I'm one of the directors of Clare Animal Welfare, and we'd just like to talk to you today about our organisation, what we're about, what we're trying to achieve. So we are a little bit unique when it comes to animal rescue because we actually operate a fostering model as opposed to kennels. We believe that that gives us an opportunity to assess all the animals who come into our care. We have a wonderful team of fosterers, and one of their roles is to assess the animals, test them with other animals, cats, children, all of those kind of things. And we believe that that makes our adoptions more successful because we know a little bit about our animals because of our fosterers, our wonderful fosterers. It just gives us an opportunity to make sure that those animals are placed in appropriate homes. At any one time, we could have up to 50 cats with us. The cat situation, particularly the feral cat situation in Clare, is chronic at the moment, largely due, it has to be said, well, partly due at least, to the owners of domestic cats not having their cats spayed and neutered in time. To that end, at the moment, we're running a scheme starting on the 1st of August, where we'll help with the cost of neutering or spaying your animal, whether it be a cat or a dog. It's a really important issue for us in Clare Animal Welfare. We're trying to do our bit when it comes to controlling the population of unwanted pets, cats and dogs particularly, so we'd encourage people to look into that scheme. And so there are big aims. Our big aims are really to improve the welfare of animals in Clare, to keep a cap on the number of unwanted animals in Clare, which is really crucial because when you have unwanted animals, you have suffering. It's as simple as that. And we see our role as helping to reduce that suffering. And then at the same time as having a large number of cats, we would have about 15 to 20 dogs in our care at any one time. And that would be a constant rotation of 15 to 20 dogs. So we'd be achieving in total between 350 and 400 adoptions of cats and dogs every year, which was something we're really proud of, you know, given the size of the organisation and that we work entirely with the volunteer workforce from direct board of directors, you know, foster coordinators, adoption coordinators. We've a wonderful group of people, all volunteers, all doing it in their own time, around their own jobs, their family life, everything like that. So we believe that that is pretty spectacular number, you know, given that we work on a voluntary basis. So we're really proud of the organisation. It takes a lot of work. Some days it feels like a full-time job on top of your full-time job, but we're driven by our passion for animals, you know, and it's a wonderful learning experience as well. Every day we learn something new about animal welfare, we learn something new about the care of animals, you know, about the unique psyche of animals. I learn something new every day about how dogs in particular try to communicate with us, and it's just, it's a fantastic organisation, and it's a fantastic organisation for the humans as well, because we're getting to know a large group of people. We have wonderful adopters, some of whom have turned into fosterers for us as well. Our fostering team is crucial. We couldn't operate without our fosterers, simple as. So yeah, wonderful organisation. We'd encourage people to have a look at us, have a look at us, maybe have a look at our fostering. If you would like to volunteer with us, we're always looking for new people to help. But even just meet up on us, find out a little bit about us and see what we're all about. We'd love that. And we're not just limited to cats and dogs either. We have rabbits, donkeys, goats. What else have we in our care at the moment? We have a large variety of animals in our care. So it's not just about cats and dogs. You know, we do try and help with other animals as well. So yeah, read up on us, get to know us. And we're very happy to answer any questions, anything like that.
How long has Clare Animal Welfare been in existence?
Well, it's actually in existence since the late 90s, but it went dormant for a little while, and that is perfectly natural in voluntary organisations. You know, people's lives move on and that kind of thing. And then it was reactivated about 3 years ago. Stefan, our treasurer, was instrumental in getting the organisation going again, along with our other director, Judy Beck, another fantastic woman who works relentlessly. Yeah, it was more about reactivation than actual re-establishment of the organisation. We have a strong team of directors as well, you know, people who push forward constantly. And we're constantly, as I said, looking for new volunteers. We try and give as much training as we can, as much support to our volunteers as we can, and much support to our fosterers as we can, because it's a numbers game with rescue like this. It's animals in and animals out, and that we have to keep that constant cycle going with our fosterers. But it's all about providing support then to people as well, to allow them to do their jobs, which is to foster or to volunteer or be a director. So we try and be as supportive as we can as well.
You mentioned that there's always a steady stream of 50-20 dogs coming in, and it sounds like you nearly always manage to rehome them, which is great, but can it be quite difficult sometimes to do that?
It can be. Some animals are more challenging than others. It may be that they have veterinary issues, and we try and look after as many as we can of those veterinary issues. When they come into us, they're fully assessed by a vet and that kind of thing, and any veterinary issues are picked up on. Spaying, vaccinations and microchips are standard practice for all the animals, regardless of what they are, whether they be a cat or a dog. So it could be veterinary care, it could be behavioural issues. Now, we do have two wonderful trainers as well who work on a voluntary basis for us as well, so we can always fall back on that. But often we're finding that dogs who are labelled, particularly dogs, because that's the part that I work in, are labelled as problem dogs, and really it's us humans who are the problem. We don't understand what they're trying to tell us, and when you gain that insight into what an animal's trying to tell you, that's when it can be a game changer. That's when we can help that animal to relax, to be themselves, to let go of anxieties, that kind of thing, and then they become homeable after that. But honestly, yeah, with some animals it takes a little bit longer than others. But again, that's where the fostering model comes in. You know, our fosterers can work with the dogs and the cats, even on issues like that. Now, having said that, a problem for us, and particularly at the moment, is because a lot of people are away, they're starting to travel again and that kind of thing post-COVID, our foster homes are full and they're dogs are sticking a tiny little bit. Now things are starting to move again, but that is one issue, and that's why we're always crying out for new fosterers, because we just got to keep that cycle going. We're very proud of the fostering model that we've set up, because it provides us with that unique insight into each animal, and then we can more carefully match them with the people. Often actually what happens is somebody will come in and they'll apply to adopt a certain dog. They'll be home checked by us, which is part of the process, and then once we've had to look at the home check, we go, actually the dog that you applied for isn't the right dog for you, but we know which one is the right dog for you. So very often it's the one that they weren't expecting, it's the one that they go home with, which is absolutely fabulous, because they've been assessed by their fosterer, we know that that's the right dog for them, and they didn't even know it, but it was the right dog for them, which is fantastic.
You were telling me that it tends to be, I don't know, is this just at the moment or is this a long running issue, but that it's mainly older dogs that people are bringing back to be rehomed. Why is that?
It goes through cycles, I think. I mean, at the moment we're seeing dogs actually from about the age of 9 months up. We're not seeing as many as we thought we would, but unfortunately, at the start of COVID last year, within a few months, demand for dogs went straight up, and a large part of that was puppies. And those puppies are now reaching 9 to 12 months old, which is classic teenage years for puppies, and they're testing all their boundaries and that kind of thing. And it can be challenging to have a dog of that age, and sometimes people who maybe didn't prepare as well as they should have done for adopting a dog or adopting a puppy, or buying a puppy actually in most cases, are now encountering problems that they think they're not capable of solving. And some of those dogs are coming into us. We had a beautiful collie actually who came into us very recently at only 10 months old and showed all the classic signs of just being a teenager, but we were able to get him rehomed with somebody who knew and understood dogs. And the middle-aged dogs who tend to come into us a lot of them tend to be found as strays, or in some cases, and we've seen this a lot over the last few a year or so as well, is where people are moving home or may potentially lose their home if they don't surrender their animal. You know, a landlord may have asked that they remove the dog from the property, or they may be going into new accommodation, and through no fault of their own or their landlord's fault, animals are just not allowed in the property, and unfortunately they make the heartbreaking decision then to surrender the dog to us. That's really heartbreaking, because you've got a well-loved family pet there who just needs to leave his family. But that's what we're all about. We will help people, you know, when they're very genuine and they're stuck in circumstances like that. Please come to us and we'll do everything we can to help.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what you mentioned earlier on in terms of the scheme to help people spay their pets?
Yeah, so it's a scheme that we run every year. It's something that we're really, really proud of. As part of our philosophy about reducing the number of unwanted pets in the county, we provide a subsidised scheme for the month of August, where we work with a number of local vets, and actually some vets in Limerick and South Galway as well, so that clients in those areas, Clare clients in that area, you know, who may be just over the border, can travel to those vets. But we'll subsidise the cost of having your animal neutered neutered or spayed. There's substantial discounts to be had on it, and we'll also subsidise the cost of microchipping your dog, because actually it's a legal requirement since 2016, you must have your dog microchipped. So if you haven't done that, and microchipping is so essential, how many strays come in to us and we can never find the owner? We will never find the owner because the dog simply wasn't microchipped, which is really tragic as well, because that dog wants to get home, but there's no way of finding the owner, you know. We'll subsidise the cost of microchipping as well, so you get your dog microchipped and you can have them spayed or neutered at the same time as well, and we'll pay a substantial part of the cost then. And to avail of the scheme, all people have to do is have a look at our website. The full list of vets is available on the website and on our Facebook page, and then ring that vet directly and make an appointment. But we would encourage people to do it sooner rather than later, because although the scheme runs for a month, it actually books up very, very quickly. I mean, we do our best. We'll probably dedicate maybe 8,000 to 10,000 euros to the scheme, which is a substantial amount of money for us, you know, being a small rescue. But we do have to cap it at some point. So please get in touch with your vet sooner rather than later and make that appointment. Have that surgery done.
You mentioned the money you're going to be putting towards subsidising the spaying. Obviously, everything else you do requires money. How does Clare Animal Welfare get by? Is it a mixture of donations? Do you get any government funding?
Currently, we're in receipt of about 2,000 euros a year from the government. And while we say every penny helps, it is, oh my God, it's a drop in the ocean. It really is. The rest of the way that we fund ourselves is we do charge an adoption fee, a realistic adoption fee of about 250 euros for a dog. But for that, the dog is vaccinated, microchipped and neutered or spayed before it goes to its new home, and actually groomed as well, where we can get them groomed. So we hand over a dog who's ready to go. And, you know, with the grace of God, you shouldn't see the inside of a vet for a year. We do have to charge a realistic adoption fee. But when you see that dogs and puppies are being sold, you know, on websites for anything up to 2,000 euros, unvaccinated, unmicrochipped, unneutered, it's spectacular value for money. We also have regular, wonderful donators who never let us down, you know. And our Facebook appeals are very important as well. Quite often we'll get an animal in who needs extraordinary amounts of veterinary care. For example, we had a little terrier come in to us recently, a gorgeous little four-year-old girl with several fractures in her back. We don't know how she sustained them, but our veterinary surgeons are of the opinion that it was either a kick or a stamp that caused all the injuries. She has cost us 7,000 euros in veterinary care for orthopaedic surgery, and that's what was another thing that we're very proud of. We try and provide the best quality veterinary care for all of our animals, but it costs money. We want them to have the best, but that costs money. So when we do Facebook appeals, our followers just never ever let us down, you know, and we'd be upfront with them about what's going on and what costs are going to be incurred and that kind of thing. And they're just, the generosity of people never ceases to amaze us, you know. So without those people, we couldn't continue to function. It's as simple as that.
Hi, I'm Sheila Lynch, and I'm the foster coordinator with Clare Animal Welfare.
Sheila, can you tell us a little bit about what your job with Clare Animal Welfare entails?
So when animals come into the centre, I might get a phone call to say, look, have a dog on the way, can you get us a foster home? So literally I have to have foster homes lined up so that I can ring somebody and say, look, I have such and such a dog coming in, are you prepared to take it? Okay, so it's most important, and it can be very difficult if we don't have spaces, so we're always looking for foster homes. What that would really entail is families that would, or single people, that would have a secure garden, would treat the dog like a family member, and literally the dogs are in crisis when they come to us. So it's literally trying to get them back to feeling secure again. They may have been very abused. They may have been, you know, some dogs are surrendered for one reason or another. If families can't cope anymore or circumstances change, you know, some people may have to move home and dogs aren't allowed. If they do surrender them into us, they would be in a better place because they're coming from a loving family. But at the same time, when they do come in for the first couple of days, their lives are like turned upside down. So they're going to be probably on their worst behaviour for the first day or two. But until they settle and see that there's only kindness there for them and their life is going to be good. What the foster parents do is they get them off to their, you know, get them ready for their forever homes. And that would be kind of maybe doing a bit of training with them, giving them the confidence that they need to recover from whatever ordeals they've been through. You know, some dogs come into us that are totally broken and might be hiding in a corner. That's fine too. It all goes with the territory, you know. But it's just trying to get the dogs back on track to get them to feel more secure and to feel like a dog again.
I'm Stefan McGowan. I'm a director of Clare Animal Welfare.
Stefan, can you tell us a little bit about what director and treasurer involves?
Well, director and treasurer means I'm looking after the funding, making sure that we are have sufficient funds to operate, which is difficult enough these days because as a 100% volunteer organization, we are fully dependent on donations. We get a very meager public funding. Thanks to the government, of course, we have to say thank you, but the amount that we got is really small.
I believe it. Last year you got, or was it for this year, last year, around 2,000 euro?
2,000 euro, yes. But luckily we are volunteers. We have no expenses. All our fosterers pay for food. We are lucky that we have basically vet bills and vaccination, spaying, neutering. That's what we pay for. But still, I mean, we are trying hard to make a living, if you like. We have no excess money. We need money, and we need badly.
Kira was explaining that, you know, you manage to get by with donations and the little bit of funding that you get, and that obviously you charge very little for, you know, microchipping a dog and looking after it compared to what people would pay for an unvaccinated, unmicrochipped dog online. But I would imagine it's still, is it like every week checking the book to make sure everything is balancing because you're relying on donations and because you get so little from the government?
Yeah, it is in a way. I mean, we are in the lucky position that we have loads of support from the public. We have a steady stream of funding in a way by means of donations. Not enough standing orders, to be honest. We would love to see some regular donations, but the irregular donations, if you like, come in steadily. So we are not starving, don't get me wrong. But on the other hand, we have some projects in mind that would require funding that we don't tackle because they will drain our funds quickly. And we would like to help the animals in County Clare by education, by programs to tell people what does it take to get us to a place where we want to be. Because animal welfare in this country and in this county is still way behind the international average. It's a pity, really. But it takes education. Take, for example, there are so many dogs on chains on the leash in this county. Dogs wearing shock collars and the likes. It's education. People see people, their dogs keeping that way. They're not bad people, I'm sure. But with a bit of education of what they could be doing, how the dog should be kept, breed specific. Age specific. People could do a lot better for their dogs and we would get less complaints.
Is that something you would like Clare Animal Welfare to do, but it would require funding? Is an education program for animal owners, particularly dog owners?
Yes, it is. I mean, we went to schools before all the lockdown started. We went to schools, educated the kids, which is the best way to start because obviously they're our future. But doing campaigns on the streets, flyers, doing even advertisements, telling people about things that should know. As I said, the shock collar, for example, which is in Ireland actually called radio fence. Well, the dog's not listening to the radio, he's getting a shock. And actually, Ireland is the last country in Europe where they're actually allowed. So they are selling them like warm toast. By the way, anyone who is doing that, I ask them, look, wear them yourself for a day and then come back to me and tell me I should buy it. But anyway, these type of campaigns do require funding. And just people driving around. I mean, we pay for petrol, we pay for diesel as much as we can, but there's a limit to how much we can do. I mean, we're all, as I said, we are volunteers, we have jobs, we have a life, and yet we spend more time on animal welfare than some of these well-paid people in other organizations. I'm not giving out. I mean, they are doing a great job either, but we would see a little bit more appreciation of what we do.